You're listening to County Conversations, a podcast brought to you by the New York State Association of Counties. This episode features a conversation among NYSAC legislative staff members Ryan Gregoire, Dave Lucas, and Alex Lamont. They will review workshops that were held throughout NYSAC's virtual fall seminar and highlight the key experiences and advice provided by expert panelists and county leaders.
For our listeners this afternoon, today's podcast is going to recap the 2020 NYSAC Fall Seminar, our first virtual event for the association. During the month of September, over 1,800 county officials received training through a series of almost 20 webinars. In addition, NYSAC also hosted a county leaders conference call today, bringing together the chief elected and chief appointed officials in each county. We were also honored to have many fantastic fall seminar sponsors and private sector partners who have helped NYSAC make this event possible. And we owe a great deal of gratitude and thanks to our featured sponsors, PERMA, NYMIR, NYSEC, 3+1, and WSP. You can learn more about these companies and how they're helping counties by visiting the NYSAC webpage at www.nysac.org. Okay, Dave, let's dive right in to the content of the podcast this afternoon. One of our first workshops that was held and one of the most popular workshops as far as attendance was the County 2021 Budget Challenges webinar. The COVID-19 pandemic has really upended the economy and has generated unprecedented revenue losses for the state and counties, as well as significant state reimbursement delays, some of which will become permanent state funding cuts. As the likelihood of additional federal disaster response and recovery funding looks farther out of reach, this webinar really highlighted actions that counties could take to try and address some 2021 budget shortfalls. Dave, again, thanks for joining us. Can you tell us a little bit about what we learned during this webinar, and can you talk to our listeners this afternoon about the content of that presentation?
Yes, I can. Thank you, Ryan. Yeah, we were really lucky to have a couple of long-term public servants very familiar with county and even other local government. We had one budget director from Orange County, Deborah Slazinski, talk about things they had been concentrating on in 2020 to get through their budget. And then we had a county manager from Tompkins, different size county, different mix, different economy, different reliance on different businesses. It was a good mix of two different types of counties and how they're being impacted. So we heard from Deb up front to talk about what they were doing in 2020, and then we were fortunate enough that for Tompkins County, Jason was able to talk about the first county budget introduced for 2021, which happened in early September, mid-September. So we got a good look at things people were doing now to try to solve the problem and what they had to do to figure out how big is the problem. That was another problem, an issue that counties were dealing with all along. We're still not sure what the full ramifications are of this. But Deborah kind of talked about a little bit about the outlook of her economy there in Orange County. There's, you know, it's suburban community for New York City. There's a lot of workers from New York City that live in Orange County, and it's a pretty urban mix, pretty big county, but they have a big reliance in their county, and they started looking at their revenue quickly and early in this budget crisis, because it was very evident in sales tax when it just started to fall through the floor. And they're a very sales tax reliant county, and they have enormous retail shopping concentration through some of their very big malls that they have down there and shopping places. So they felt it pretty hard. So she talked a lot about how they were impacted, the types of businesses that were hurt the most, and they had to do an analysis that looked at how deep is this going to be and how long is it going to last. And they're still struggling with trying to figure that out. But they rely for almost 27% of their revenue, and their entire budget comes from sales tax. So the sales tax hit was very difficult for them. They looked at other sales tax or tax revenues as well. Their occupancy tax, which was they do a lot of tourism down there. And the hotels were basically shut down, and so were restaurants during the deepest part of the pandemic in the first part of the year. So they were facing enormous tax losses, which they had to figure out how to address as part of their presentation. And I encourage you to go to our website and look at the presentation. It is online, as Ryan pointed out, with the website. And you can just go to these, go through the presentation, and even listen to the recording. But it was interesting to hear from this county and how they were facing the 2020 problem. And the big thing message I got from her presentation was that they had to take these 2020 steps to lay the foundation for 2021 so they could put that budget together. They needed to find deep savings quickly that would recur. So they looked at everything, and a lot of counties went through the same process. They required each department to come up with a plan to cut a certain amount out of their budgets. They implemented a hiring freeze. They created separation incentives and early retirement incentives to get people off the roll, off the payroll a little sooner. And they had to go in and not replace those positions later in order to gain the savings. They really cut back on their purchasing. They had to have very expansive justifications for all purchases. They had to be public safety, health emergency only, basically. They slowed down capital spending and so on. And they really talked a lot about how they went through that process. It's a very, very thoughtful presentation. Our second speaker, as I had mentioned, was Jason Molino. He's the county manager in Tompkins. And he really talked about the budget that they just presented the day before the presentation was done to the entire NYSAC community. And they took a little bit different approach to this, and they had a philosophy they wanted to stick by, and which is presented in their webinar presentation on their budget challenges. They really didn't want to hurt the community anymore through further layoffs. So they had a commitment to have no layoffs in their budget. But they were not filling vacant positions, which was a key for them. So they went through much of the same process Orange did up front and doing things now in 2020 to make sure they were better prepared entering 2021. One of the things that Tompkins did in their budget, and you can see it in the presentation, is that they were willing to exceed the property tax cap as a way of ensuring essential services were delivered and that they didn't drag the economy down more by laying off their own employees. So they thought it was worth it to at least present a budget that would go over the tax cap slightly in order to maintain services during a public health emergency. So their presentation is similar. It goes through a lot of the factors they look at, the different economic factors, the different mandates they have to provide, where can they cut services, where can't they cut services. So they had quite a bit, a very lengthy presentation and a lot of economic data and history regarding their sales tax. Again, this is a community that relies a lot on sales tax. And one of the big factors for them as well, their economic makeup was a lot different than Orange. They're very reliant on Cornell and higher institutions of higher education that are in Tompkins County. 25% of the county population is the students from these higher education facilities. And when they went home last March because of the COVID crisis, they saw the impact immediately in their community and their revenues as well. Very great, very good presentations, and I hope folks have a chance to look at them online.
Excellent. Thanks, Dave. And for our listeners, we are speaking with Dave Lucas, NYSAC's Director of Finance and Intergovernmental Affairs, highlighting one of our most successful and popular webinars over the last month, which was County 2021 Budget Challenges. So, Dave, you had mentioned in your remarks that both of these counties, Orange and Tompkins County, have a pretty heavy reliance on sales tax as a source of revenue. Can you talk to folks about what you heard from other counties and other participants who were on that webinar. Do other counties have that same level of reliance on sales tax? And if so, what are counties doing right now? Can you provide us with some examples of what they're doing to try and mitigate the loss, the dramatic loss in local revenues?
Yeah, about half of the counties rely on sales tax, a little less than half, as their number one source of revenue in their budget, especially local revenue. You really, counties have property tax, sales tax, and a handful of fees and other charges and some smaller gaming revenues and occupancy tax sources that they have. But the hard work is done by the property tax and the sales tax for most counties. I think many counties are following a similar approach to these two as far as limiting, doing things with the workforce. I mean, some counties implemented actual layoffs. Others did furloughs. Some did voluntary furloughs. And it's you make an important point about the ability to potentially raise other revenues, and some counties have done that. While they rely on sales tax, in situations where they could maximize a local revenue, either without state authority or in some other way, some counties were pursuing that as an option. So they were trying to reduce costs as much as possible while also trying to maximize revenue locally that they could in the least burdensome way possible for the taxpayer. Some counties were looking at some of their sales tax exemptions as a possible way to help get out of this, improve their revenue situation. Counties do have the ability across the state to apply sales tax to certain categories of economic activity at local option. So some do and some don't. So folks have looked at that. Others were looking at ways to encourage people to come to the county to let them know they're open for business, especially many upstate counties, lots and lots, not just upstate too. New York City and Long Island have very, very robust tourism businesses and industries that in some cases forms a backbone of their economy. It's more prominent upstate where that it could potentially be the central economic driver in a community is tourism. So there was an effort in some communities and in some counties to really put that forward and actually put resources into that category and actually spend money to try to let people know we're open for business, we're working with our businesses to make sure it's safe. So people really went the full gamut here and trying to figure out a way to get through 2020 and build a better foundation for 2021.
Well, certainly, Dave, the COVID-19 pandemic has really upended the ability for counties to collect local sales tax revenue. You just were mentioning how reliant some of our counties and some of the other communities are on the tourism industry. And I think one thing that we'll find going into the future, and please feel free to disagree with me, is this issue of the COVID-19 pandemic and how the crisis magnifies this loss of economic activity in our counties, and then how does that end up transpiring into how the county operationalizes their work going into 2021. So we're going to have to really keep an eye on this and see how it plays out. But I would like to remind everyone that you can find a copy of this workshop recording and all of our workshop recordings from this year's 2020 Fall Seminar, which includes the slideshows of the presentations by visiting the Fall Seminar website. In addition to the County 2021 Budget Challenges workshop, there are a couple other workshops that I wanted to highlight for our members, one of which is in regard to the election administration and how this November's 2020 election is different from prior elections. This is really going to be the first large-scale test of the state's new early voting laws and COVID-19 election reforms. This webinar brought together officials from the State Board of Elections and the past president of the association that represents our county Board of Elections commissioners. Both the state and county talked about the need for additional federal resources and state resources to administer this election. I think one component that came out of it, something interesting for everyone to know, is the magnitude that local boards of elections are expecting as far as receiving absentee ballots in the mail. The governor's executive orders this past spring allowed individuals to apply for and receive an absentee ballot if they felt that their health was at risk due to the COVID-19 pandemic. That is placing an enormous new burden on local county board of elections as far as processing those applications. And really, that was probably the central issue which was highlighted on that webinar. The other webinar that I wanted to speak about before I transition with Dave and talk about our county leaders meeting was policing in 2020 and what we learned and how do we change, how do we adapt as county leaders, as a state. And really, this was spearheaded by Governor Cuomo's executive order number 203, the New York State Police Reform and Reinvention Collaborative. This executive action, coupled with the passage of the Say Their Name agenda in early June by the state legislature, has dramatically altered policing in New York State. This webinar addressed those new changes, discussed the executive order, and talked about how counties and law enforcement agencies are adapting to this new normal. And really, it focused on what change looked like, how these police reforms are reflective of the community need. That was really the central focus. We were joined by experts in this field of work, both from Onondaga County, the Onondaga County Undersheriff, Jason Casalia, and Carly Bolanos from Bolanos Lowe Law Firm. They discussed what initiatives Onondaga County was undertaking, as well as some of the other initiatives being taken by their peers across the state. And as I mentioned, I want to take a moment now and transition with Dave while I still have him on the line to talk about one of the last events that we had in our fall seminar, which was our county leaders meeting. But before I get to that, we have also been joined by a special guest with us, Alex Lamont, the NYSAC legislative coordinator. Thank you for joining us. We just heard from Dave, who was speaking about the County 2021 Budget Challenges Workshop. And Dave, thank you for staying on the line with us. Before we discuss the county leaders meeting, I wanted to go to you, Alex, to talk a little bit about some of the webinars that you helped to facilitate during our first annual virtual fall seminar. What can you tell our listeners today?
Yeah, I had the opportunity to help facilitate a number of fall seminar workshops. One of the most well-attended workshops I helped to facilitate was about counties' mental health in the criminal justice process. So essentially, under state law, individuals who are charged with a felony and deemed unfit to proceed through the criminal justice office are ordered into the care of the state office of mental health to be restored to competency. And we talked about how this expense has now become 100% a county expense and had some great Q&A at the end of the session about the challenges associated with this process, counties learning from one another and answering one another's questions about the process, paying for these services at state-operated forensic facilities. We are very happy to be joined by Callie Hansen, who is the executive director of the Conference of Local Mental Hygiene Directors. We also had a number of people from her staff joining us, including Jed, their counsel, Courtney, who is their director of government relations. And then, of course, we are very happy to be joined by Sharon McDougall, who is the director of community services at Cortland County, and was able to talk about her experience on the ground in Cortland County dealing with this cost shift and just the criminal justice process and mental health process within her county. I highly recommend going back and listening to that if it's a topic that's of interest to our listeners today. Another highlight of the conference was our session on meeting New York State's climate and renewable energy goals. We were joined by Hutan Mulvaney, who is the Deputy Executive Director of the new Office of Renewable Energy Siting, which is located within the Department of State, and he has been tasked with facilitating the overhaul of the state's renewable energy siting process for large renewable energy projects. So this is what we refer to as the new 94C law. And Hutan took the time to explain the regulations that are now in draft form and counties have the opportunity to comment on, as well as solicit feedback from counties on the line about what's important to them in this renewable energy siting process as far as their priorities for, you know, what should be included in applications, how counties should be consulted throughout this process. So it was very great to have that interaction between him and our members. And we were also joined by Kara Allen, who is a senior advisor at NYSERDA. She is responsible for policy and regulatory affairs and was able to give us a deep dive into the state's Climate Act. That is the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act, which was passed last year and is really going to change the way a lot of different services are provided in New York State and a lot of different industries operate, because it requires the state to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions by 40% by 2030 and 80% by 2050, which is very substantial. And the state has embarked on a large planning process related to that. And Carol was able to talk about the role local governments can play as part of this process in providing input and working with the state as they draft the scoping plan to determine how we will get to this ultimate 85% reduction in our greenhouse gas emissions in New York State. I'll very quickly touch on two other workshops I think are worth mentioning. Both are about COVID-19 testing, and there's a lot of different ways that counties right now are helping to slow the spread of COVID-19 through testing. Our first session on this topic focused on wastewater testing, which is using the RNA from coronavirus in wastewater to see how prevalent COVID-19 is in your community. And a number of counties, including Onondaga County, which is where Syracuse University is located, have been doing this for several weeks now. So we were joined by David Larson, who's an associate professor at Syracuse University, and walked us through the science and the utility of this. We also were able to have Onondaga County's director of the Division of Community Health join us, Rebecca Schultz. And we also had Laughlin Square, who is with SUNY Oneonta and was able to talk about what this has meant for their campus and how it has helped them in working with the local health department to slow the spread. And then the last session I wanted to touch on was about what we traditionally think of as COVID-19 testing. So this is our antibody testing and our diagnostic testing. We had three excellent public health commissioners join us to talk about how they are identifying, isolating, and treating people with COVID-19, starting with that testing process. So we had Dr. Gil Bernstein from Erie County, Dr. Sherlita Amler from Westchester County, and Dr. Brittany Kamish from Syracuse University really educate us on how testing has changed since the beginning of the pandemic and how they're preparing to ramp up testing as we enter this flu season and the technology continues to develop.
Alex, thank you for that overview of those workshops. Certainly, between the economic fiscal challenges counties are facing, the threat of COVID-19 on our public health infrastructure, and then the series of environmental initiatives New York State has taken over the past year, there's a lot on everyone's plate and a lot on everyone's agenda, and I thank you for providing that recap. So let's take a moment now and transition to the last event of our fall seminar, our county leaders meeting. We had the pleasure of being joined this morning by our Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul and guest speakers including William Crozier, the Deputy Director of the White House Office of Intergovernmental Affairs, Mark Ritacco, the Director of Government Relations for NACO, Commissioner Dana Smith of Dutchess County Office of Emergency Response, Greg Barilla, the State Director of the National Federation of Independent Businesses, Robert Schneider, the Executive Director of the New York State School Boards Association, and Kapil Lagani, the Council to Mayor Bill de Blasio in New York City. Dave, certainly we had a jam-packed agenda this morning. Can you describe to our listeners in a quick snapshot about some of the content that was covered on this call and maybe something that could be a good takeaway for the county leadership.
Sure. Thank you, Ryan and Alex. It was a really great list of speakers today. You really think about it started off with the Lieutenant Governor just delivering a great message about we're in this together and we need to work forward. And she understands the stress we're under and how difficult it is to manage the counties. And you really felt like there was a partnership there. Not always perfect with the state, but she really presented a really good foot forward about how we are in this together and we need to work on it. And having a speaker anytime from the federal executive is always helpful. And William Crozier is just a consummate professional and very in tune with county needs and very responsive to any requests we have. It was really great to hear from folks like that, and also from NACO. We're so reliant right now on the activities of NACO and partnering with the White House and our congressional delegation and all the folks in Washington to really get some federal assistance. There was a great discussion on where negotiations currently are in the process. And, you know, we're holding out hope that we need something from the federal government. Otherwise, things are going to get dramatically worse for counties in the state as we move forward. And it was a very robust discussion around those areas. And it was great to hear from all of the different leaders. We bring in the leaders from the counties that are led by board chairs, those that are led by county executives, and those that are have professional managers or administrators that work at the behest of the board. A very strong message of partnership, regardless of the type of government each county had, that working through the COVID crisis, we learned so much from each other, and there were so many things that were done when counties were in need to help, whether it was purchasing. I remember the story of when Suffolk County was feeling the worst of it, and facilities were being overrun, their healthcare facilities. Onondaga County sent 25 nurses down to help out. And it was things like that that got the counties through this crisis. And it was good to hear that reminder that we're in this together. We still have a ways to go. And it was just a very good conversation.
Great. Thanks, Dave. And I think one of the takeaways that I had from this meeting was really the partnership. And you spoke to the partnership with our federal and state partners, but also with our other governmental associations, the folks who represent the small business community, the folks who represent the schools and the school boards. And one clear message that came across throughout this entire meeting was, to your point, Dave, this message of working together, advocating as a collective group to urge Congress and our federal partners to come together, get a deal done, help states, help local governments, including counties, but also our other local municipalities and school districts, really receive the aid that they need to continue to provide the services that our residents of New York State have come to expect and need, particularly during these trying times. So with that, I'll wrap up today's webinar or today's podcast. And again, I thank both of you for joining me today to highlight some of the webinars that you helped to facilitate and that you've worked on, and also to talk a little bit about this county leaders meeting that we just convened. So again, to all of our listeners, thank you for joining today's County Conversations, a podcast that reviewed our 2020 virtual fall seminar. And we look forward to hearing and for having you to tune in to our next podcast.
Thanks for listening to this NYSAC podcast. We would like to once again thank our featured sponsors, PERMA, NYMIR, NYSTEC, 3+1, and WSP. We are grateful to our sponsors for helping to make this event possible. Make sure to keep tuning into our podcast to hear more insightful conversations on county government throughout New York State. And feel free to reach out to our staff if there is a topic you would like to hear us discuss.